Hallelujah. Jesus, the true transformer. That is our series. And today we are focusing in part two, you won't relate the same. Amen. Well, saints, how many know that life is not just a sit-down thing? How many know that life is not just a sit-down thing? Life is a journey. Amen. It is a journey. And we're meant to always be moving forward, always growing and maturing and developing. For there is a destination to get to. We think about the butterfly. It starts out as a cocoon, a little worm-looking thing. And it's all caterpillar. It's all wrapped in this cocoon. And then all of a sudden you see little punches because it's trying to punch its way. It's working its way out. And when that caterpillar comes out of that cocoon and just stretches its wings out, it is a beautiful butterfly. Hallelujah. And we could just look at it and say, wow, look at God, from a little old wormy looking thing to a beautiful, beautiful butterfly. Well, saints, God wants to make changes and transformations in our lives. And the changes that God wants to make are good ones. Everybody say good ones. Good ones. We know that. Yet it's still our human nature to resist change. How many here like change? Okay. Oh, that's pretty good. All right. How many don't like to be changing all the time? All right. All right. This was kind of split there. Amen. It's human nature, though, to be apprehensive about change, even positive ones. And positive changes are not automatic, saints. And it's not a matter of God doing everything for us while we just sit and enjoy the ride. It's not about that. It's not about us either taking all things and all matters into our hands and trying to work it ourselves. It's not that either. It is a cooperative, everybody say cooperative. A cooperative effort between us and God. Hallelujah. So together, let's read Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to ask that you please circle, be transformed. Underline it real heavy. Be transformed. Now, this be transformed, the verb tense here is passive, indicating that it's something that God does to us. God transforms us. Yet, it's in the form of an imperative, which means it's a command, and that means it's also something we do. Be transformed. Now, saints, God does want to transform us. God wants to change us for the better. And as Pastor Kelly mentioned in her sermon last week, that process began on the day that we first trusted, that day when we had an encounter with Jesus Christ, who is the true transformer. And saints, that transforming process will continue throughout our lives. Just nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is going to continue throughout our lives. This transforming process throughout our lives. How many have your button on today? Your button on today. What does IWC stand for?
I was changed.
Amen. We've been transformed and still transforming. Amen. We're still being transformed. So Jesus, the true transformer, we're going to focus in on you won't relate the same today. Now, saints, it's about we. That's what it's all about. God created us to fulfill God's purposes together. And what we're going to discover today is that it is impossible for me to accomplish God's will for my life, and it's impossible for you to accomplish God's will and purposes on your own. We actually need others. I need you, and you need me. Hallelujah. We all need the Christian community, the body of Christ, to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. Because, saints, just face it, we're better together. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and just nudge him. Neighbor, we're better together. We're just better together. All right. Better together. Romans 12, verse 5, in our New Testament text for today, it reads, so we in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. All right, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you need me. You need me. You need me. Go ahead, say it. You need me. All right. Now, I want you to say to that neighbor, I need you. Go ahead, say it. I need you. Amen. I need you. Whether we realize it or not, saints, we really do need each other. Amen. God wired you and God wired me, all of us, in such a way that we can only fulfill God's purposes for our lives in community, in God's family, in relationship to each other. Now, looking at our sermon note sheet, I'm going to want us to read these five things together about how our relationships are transformed. Our relationships are transformed, saints, as we, number one, we worship God. As we, number two, we fellowship together. And this means connect with each other, developing, deepening relationships with other Christians. Our relationships are transformed when we, number three, grow spiritually. And that is to say we go closer to God and become more like our Lord Jesus. Our relationships are transformed when we, number four, serve one another. And our relationships are transformed when we, five, we reach out in God's love to those in our community who are not connected with God and His family. Amen. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 just kind of sums all that up, and let's read that together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. Saints, we were created for community. Hallelujah. We were wired for relationships. And we were made to go through life together with others. Now, our New Testament passage, and Althea read for us, verse 5 says, Christ makes us one body and individuals who are connected to each other. Will you say that word with me, saints? Connected. We're connected. Well, guess what? You are connected to the person that you're sitting next to. All right, just go ahead and look at them. Amen. You're connected to them. All right, now you may be connected physically because sometimes some of us sit with our families, but you are spiritually, for sure, connected to the person next to you. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you're connected to those around you. Amen. If you're a part of the family of God, we are connected in some way to others. But saints, here's the problem. It's easy to get disconnected in relationships. Amen. It's so easy. Everybody say so easy. So easy to get disconnected. All right. It's very easy to get disconnected from our children, our parents, our sisters, our brothers, our co-workers, our spouse. It's just so easy to get disconnected in our relationships with each other. And so today we're going to look at what causes the disconnect. Why do relationships fall apart? Why do relationships go bad? What destroys relationships? And how do we rebuild? How can we have healthy relationships? Well, saints, we discovered today that every relational problem comes down to one of four negative attitudes. Every problem we've had in a relationship comes down to one of these problems. These are enemies of community. These are enemies of healthy relationships. All right, are you ready for number one? What is number one enemy? Selfishness. Selfishness destroys relationships, saints. Selfishness is the number one cause of arguments. Selfishness is the number one cause of divorce. Selfishness is the number one cause of war. So let's just read aloud James 4, verse 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. All right. Now, it's very easy, everybody say that again, very easy for selfishness to creep into a relationship. You know, when we start a relationship, saints, we have a tendency to really work hard at that relationship, really work hard at being selfless or being unselfish. Like when you first start dating someone, you know, oh, you just say, oh, here, please, you first, you go first. Or you say, oh, you know, can I get you something? Or let me get that for you, All right, that's when we're starting a relationship. All right, we're very unselfish at the start of a relationship. But then as time goes on, selfishness starts creeping into the relationship, okay? All right, we put more energy into starting relationships than we do into maintaining relationships. All right, now that's what Married Sensation is all about, helping us maintain, amen, the relationship that we have with our spouse and other ministries within the church. It's one thing to start, it's another thing to maintain and keep it going, amen, and have a good time at it, praise God. How many have heard these five stages of a married couple? All right, the seven stages of a married couple, and I took this from the book by Dennis and Barbara Rainey, and it's called Staying Close, the seven stages of a married couple. The first year, baby darling, I'm worried about that sniffle, so I called the paramedics to rush you over to University Hospital for a checkup and for a week of rest. And you know, I know you don't like hospital food, so I'm having gourmet meals brought in for you. That's the first year. Now, the second year of marriage, sweetheart, I don't like the sound of that cough. I've arranged for our doctor to make a house call. Let me tuck you into bed. Third year of marriage, you look like you've got a fever. Why don't you just drive yourself over to Quick Care and get some medicine? Fourth year, look. Be sensible. After you fed the kids and gave the kids a bath and washed the dishes, you really ought to go to bed. Fifth year, for Pete's sake, do you have to cough so loud? I can't hear the TV. Would you mind going to the other room while this show is on? You sound like a barking dog. Woo, it's right. We all know that selfishness, everybody say selfishness, selfishness destroys a relationship. We know this, saints, so why don't we change? Or better yet, why can't we change? Why can't we become more unselfish? Well, there's a couple reasons, saints. First, it's natural to be selfish. Oh, yeah, just natural. It's our human nature to be selfish. And not only are we naturally selfish, but we're also in a culture that just loves to be selfish, and it fosters selfishness, and it fosters self-centeredness. Do you realize, saints, every advertisement we watch on TV, it caters to our self-centeredness. It's things like, have it your own way. I believe that was Burger King, amen? Have it your way, have it your way. And then one commercial says, we do it all for you. Ooh, we like that. We do it all for you. And then another commercial, it's all about you. What's best for you? So then we start walking around thinking, yeah, it's all about me. What's best for me? Yeah, I like that. Sprite came up with this commercial, obey your thirst. Think about that. Obey your thirst. You know, isn't that self-centered? Obey your thirst. Just think about it. It says, do whatever your urge tells you. Obey your thirst. And there was a song, it's your thing to do what you want to do. All right? Forget if it hurts anybody else. Forget if it bothers anybody else. Just obey your thirst. Just do your own thing. Live for yourself, regardless of what it does to anybody else. Or, saints, the one that's a little bit more sophisticated, but basically it's the same thing, and I think we've all heard it. What happens in Vegas? Woo, y'all heard that. All right. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, think about that. It's okay for me to cheat on my spouse as long as I'm in Vegas. All right. All right, it's okay for me to be immoral. It's okay for me to be rotten and do anything I want to do, to be totally selfish and thinking about me, because what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I don't think so. Now, if selfishness destroys relationships, saints, then what's the counterpart to selfishness? What builds relationships? Everybody shout that, selflessness. What does it mean to be selfless? It means I think less of myself and more of you. Less of myself and more of you. That's being selfless. It's finally realizing that I am not the center of the universe. Hallelujah. Can you all say that with me, you know, just for a little practice? I am not the center of the universe. Amen. Together, let's read Philippians 2:4. It says, look out for one another's interests, not just your own. That's selflessness. Selflessness brings out the best in others. Selflessness builds relationships. If you start acting selfless in a relationship, it forces the other person to change because you're not the same person anymore. They have to relate to you in a different way. Selflessness, saints, not only transforms the relationship, selflessness changes us as well. Hallelujah. And saints, we must let God's Spirit do God's work in us. Because we can't do this naturally on our own. We just can't. We can only do it through the power of God. Everybody say the power of God that is working in us. Notice, it's a growth work. We're in training, saints. And this is not going to happen overnight. You don't all of a sudden learn to be unselfish by a zap of the finger. I wish we could do that. I'm now, unselfish. In fact, we're not going to learn it just in this series because it's not easy. Everybody say, it's not easy. It's not easy. Now say, ouch, it ain't easy. Ouch, ouch, it ain't easy. It is going to take the rest of our lives, saints. The rest of our life. It is a growth training process. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Anybody can be unselfish every now and then, every once in a while. But God wants us to live a lifestyle of unselfishness. A lifestyle. And the only way we can do it, and that is if God's Spirit is in there. Jesus is on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Now, saints, here's the second thing that destroys relationships, and what is it? It is pride. Pride destroys relationships. Proverbs 13:10, it says, pride leads to argument. Now, saints, pride shows up in a lot of different ways. It shows up in criticism. If you are critical of other people, if you tend to be judgmental of other people, if you tend to look down, snub your nose on other people, if you tend to be picky, 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 a perfectionist, picky, 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 then you have a pride problem. If you are critical often, it's a pride problem. If you tend to compare all the time, look at her dress. I got one, I'm just betting, that's a pride problem. Look at his car, I see he got a dent, I don't got a dent, Oh, look at their house, look at their kids, look at their job, anything. If you're comparing, you have a pride problem. That's a comparing spirit, that is a judgmental spirit, that is a pride problem. If you have a stubborn streak, you got a pride problem. If you find it hard to say, I'm sorry, that is a pride problem. If you find it hard to apologize and you got to clear your throat 10 times, just trying to apologize, then you got to swallow 6 more times before you can apologize. That is a pride problem. If you cannot ever admit that you are wrong, that is a pride problem. If you have shallow relationships, if you keep everything in life superficial, that is a pride problem. If you never let anybody get close to you, that is a pride problem. Always keeping people at a distance, keeping people at an arm's length, basically boils down to a pride problem. If you use humor just to keep things shallow all the time, you never let things get deep, you're always faking it, always wearing a mask, that is a pride problem. Now, saints, the problem with pride is that it's so self-deceiving. Everybody else can see it in us except us. So it's so self-deceiving. When I'm full of pride, I can't see it in myself. Everybody else can see it, but I can't see it. It's self-deceiving. Notice what Proverbs 13:10 says again. Let's read that. pride leads to arguments. Yes, saints, pride destroys relationships. And if pride destroys relationships, what builds relationships? Humility. Everybody shout humility. Humility builds relationships. Let's read 1 Peter 3:8. It says, live in harmony. Be sympathetic. Love each other. Have compassion and be humble. That's the antidote to pride, humility. Humility builds relationships. Listen to these five things that build relationships. Live in harmony, be sympathetic, love each other, have compassion, and be humble. And all of those five things are built on the fifth one, which is the ability to be humble. Now, saints, I want us to notice particularly live in harmony. And that's where God wants our relationships to be, in harmony. Like the song Ivory and that Stevie Wonder wrote. What's the name of that? Ebony and Ivory, in harmony. God wants us to be in unison. And not that we're all the same. No, we'll never all be the same. God wants harmony with all of us being different. We're all different. Yet God calls for harmony. Harmony and humility. Everybody say harmony and humility. Harmony and humility go together. Harmony and humility. You have to have them together. Well, saints, how are you? How am I going to grow in humility? How does that happen in our lives? It happens by letting the Lord Jesus Christ come in to begin to control our thoughts, begin to control our attitudes, begin to control our actions and our reactions, and to control our hearts. Oh, praise God, saints, the Holy Spirit has to be a part of this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. Woo! Everybody write that down. I think Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking and make you into a new person. How many here today want more humility in your life? Okay, I'm waving my hand. You know how we do that? We spend more time with the Lord Jesus. When we get up in the morning, we have that time with Him. We say, I love you, Lord. I love you. We open the Word. We spend time in the Word. We spend time in prayer. We spend time singing and praising God. That's how we develop more humility, because Jesus is humble. And we get to know Him so well that His humbleness comes right through us as we step into our daily lives. Philippians 2, verses 3, 5, and 6 say, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Though He was God, He did not demand and cling to His rights as God. Oh, praise God. Do you really want to learn humility today, saints? Spend more time with Jesus. Hallelujah. And you will notice that you will become more humble and the relationships in your life will be more healthy. Praise God. Now, there's a third struggle we all face, saints, and it is a struggle of what? Insecurity. Insecurity destroys relationships. All right, look at what Proverbs 29, 25 says. Let's read that together. The fear of human opinion disables. All right, this insecurity. When I'm so insecure that all I'm thinking about is, what are you thinking about me? What is your opinion about me? What do you think about what I just said? What do you think about my hair today? What do you think about how I look? What do you think about how I talk, how I walk? And when we think like that, it disables our lives. What is the problem with that fear? That is a fear. Well, when we're afraid, it causes us then to try to control each other, and that destroys relationships. Saints, what do we fear in relationships? We fear a couple of things. Now, when we're afraid, we begin to hide ourselves. We begin to wear masks. We begin to not let others know who we really are. We cover up. We pretend to be people that we really are not. We fear exposure. Look at Adam and Eve. When they had got caught sinning, they went and Scripture says they hid themselves. But then there is a second fear that's even deeper than that, and it is this. We fear what? Rejection. And this might be the greatest fear in us, saints, the fear of being rejected. Now, we all in this room have been rejected at some point in our lives. Amen. We all know what it feels like to be rejected, and it hurts. And so we fear it, and we close ourselves off, and we say, I am never going to let myself be rejected like that again. Then we begin to build up walls so that no one can get in. Maybe today you've been hurt by rejection. Maybe you've been rejected by somebody. Maybe it was a spouse. Maybe it was a sister, a brother. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was your child. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Somebody in your life. Maybe it was a fellow Christian, a brother or sister in Christ. I have felt rejection, saints. And I have discovered that rejection is one of my greatest fears. It's one of my greatest hurts. When you let others in and this happens, and then all of a sudden they reject, they walk away, they do this, they do that, they talk about you, whatever. And so that has become one of my greatest fears. But do you know what has helped me with my fear, saints? Do you know what helps me with this pain and hurt of rejection in my life? When I feel rejected, I have disciplined and am disciplining myself to think about Jesus, saints. Jesus, when I think about how he was rejected, you see, Isaiah 53:3 says he was despised. He was despised and he was rejected by men and by women. He was a man of sorrow and he was familiar with suffering. If anybody understands rejection, guess what? Jesus understands it. Praise your name. And so today I beg you, I ask, please, don't harden your heart. Please don't let any root of bitterness get into your heart. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness. Just get rid of it. Don't build up that wall. And I would encourage each and all of us today, ask God for courage. If you've been hurt in an area, ask God for courage to be able to step out and take risks. God, give me what I need to be able to step out and take that risk again. Amen. If you're living in fear today, you're not really living, my friend. You see, insecurity destroys relationships. Well, then, what builds them? We all know the answer to this, and what is it? It's love. Hallelujah. Love builds relationships. I want us to read together 1 John 4:18. It says, love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. Hallelujah. Saints, if we're afraid, it shows that God's love has not been perfected in us. And when God's love has not been perfected in us, it leads to resentment. And resentment is always wrong. Resentment is when you pile up anger in your heart and you just carry it. It's like frozen anger in there. I want us to notice what the Bible says in Psalm 73:21-22. Okay, it says, since my heart was embittered, and that means resentful, and my soul was deeply wounded, I was stupid and could not understand. All right, in other words, saints, when you have resentment in your heart, the psalmist is saying we act stupid because we don't think straight. We start doing self-defeating behavior. And one of the purposes of having other people in our lives is to help us think straight, saints, when we have been hurt. When we get hurt, we need other people around us who are filled with the love of God, who love us. And they are able to see what we're going through, that we're getting bitter and we're getting resentful. And they will help us not get stuck there. Amen. They can help keep us from doing dumb things. All right, now, I'm not the only one in here that's been doing some dumb things sometime. All right, we all need each other to help us from doing dumb things. You see, when you're not thinking straight, you need people around you who are not bitter to help you think it through and help you from not doing dumb things. All right, so when you see on the news or something that they had the dumbest things that crooks do or something like that. Well, if they had somebody in their life to say, don't you be a dummy. We all need somebody in our lives to help us. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Look at Hebrews 12:15. It says, look after each other watch out that no bitterness, resentment, take root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Saints, the deep trouble and the hurt that we have caused others because of resentment and bitterness. And if we just really think about the resentment and bitterness that we have allowed to ruin relationships, we just should say, God, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Because resentment destroys relationships. So what's the antidote, saints? The antidote to resentment is forgiveness. Forgiveness builds relationships. Colossians 3:13 says, you must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Woo! Woo! Ooh, amen. Saints, why should you and I forgive other people? I'm going to give us a few reasons, saints. The first is resentment and unforgiveness just flat out don't work. That's a good enough reason. They just don't work. All right. Holding on to a grudge only hurts you. Holding on to a grudge only hurts me. Why forgive? Number two, because we've been forgiven by God. How many know that God has forgiven? If we would just confess our sins, scriptures, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how can we not forgive others when we think about how much God has forgiven us? Amen. And thirdly, saints, why forgive? We're going to need forgiveness sometime in the future ourselves. Amen. Count on it. We're going to make some mistakes before we leave out of here. So you better offer forgiveness to others right now. Amen. And just in case you think you can do this on your own, oh, hallelujah, just forget it, because you can't. There's no way that we can just do this on our own. All right, some of what we call forgiveness that we've been doing really isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness is not making excuses. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not minimizing the hurt. It hurt. Forgiveness is not justifying it. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, that's no big deal. Sometimes it is a big deal. Forgiveness is not saying, oh, it wasn't wrong. Sometimes it is wrong, saints. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is letting go of the pain. Forgiveness is letting go of the right to be able to get back at that person. Just letting that right go. And why would anybody want to do that? You know why you want to do it? You're going to do it for your own sake. Hallelujah. Because living in misery is not a way to live. Amen. Having ulcers and all kinds of physical problems because we're holding on to these resentments and bitterness, it ain't worth it. Tell your neighbor, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. Not worth it. And some of us, we're still allowing people from our past to hurt us right now in the very present. Listen to me. Don't let them hurt you anymore. Don't let them hurt you anymore. The past is the past. Hallelujah. And every time we hold on to that grudge, every time we think about it, we start gritting our teeth. You keep gritting your teeth, you're the one that got to go to the dentist and get new teeth. They don't have to get no new teeth. You're the one got to get new teeth. They can hurt us if we refuse to let them go. Let them go, my friend. They can only hurt you if you hold on to that grudge or resentment. I want you to just touch your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, don't let your wounds get in the way. Don't let your wounds get in the way. Don't let your wounds get in the way. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Now everybody say forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only way to really get on with your life. For me to really get on with my life is forgiveness. Through forgiveness, high five your neighbor and say, we can get on with the future. We can get on with the future. Through forgiveness, we can get on through the future. Thank you, Lord. Now, saints, I want us to look at this wonderful promise in our Old Testament text for this day, Isaiah 43:18-19. And the Lord says, forget what happened before and don't think about the past. I'm going to do something new in your life, and I will make rivers on dry land. I'm going to turn that desert into an oasis. Hallelujah! Praise God, saints. Okay, you may have had some relational disasters in your life in the past. Guess what? Welcome to the club. I'm the president of the club. We all done had some relational disasters, amen? Everybody in this room has had some sort of relational disaster in our life. Everybody. The question is, what are we going to do with them? Well, God wants to start something totally new in your life, in my life, in our lives. Hallelujah. Today, right now, saints. And it starts with opening up our hearts and our lives and our minds and our wills to the Lord Jesus Christ. And letting the Lord Jesus just fill us with God's love and joy and peace and patience and forgiveness and all the fruits of the Spirit moment by moment and day by day and week by week and month by month and year after year as individuals, as families, and together as the family of God. I'm going to ask if you would just high five your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, God wants to start something totally new in our relationships today. God wants to start something totally new in our relationships today.